Real stories, reliable information, the latest technology and news. Welcome to the Plastic Surgery Hub podcast, connecting people with practitioners.
Hello, podcasters. It's Trish Hammond here again from Transforming Bodies. And it feels like it's been forever between podcasts this time, but it's only been about a week. But anyway, and today I'm talking to the lovely Alison, who, from what I understand, she has lost a bunch of weight. So yay, go sister, because I'm in that same boat too. And so she's a weight loss patient, had a breast reduction and planning a tummy tuck and some eye surgery. And this was all done with Dr. Sellers, and we're going to hear her stories. So welcome, Alison.
Thank you. Hi.
So nice to online meet you.
Yes.
So tell us, so you've lost a bunch of weight.
I have. So I had gastric sleeve surgery in May of 2018. So I'm just over a year post-op now. And that, you know, that's a whole other story with anyone that's struggled with weight and had health issues and things like that. But regardless of my weight, I always had really big breasts, disproportionate breasts.
Yeah.
Whether I was on a diet and was down to a good size, healthy size, I still had D to double D cups, and my breasts were always, even from a young age, an older lady's shape, very matronly, if that's a word these days. Mm-hmm. So I was very uncomfortable with them. And I also ended up developing osteoarthritis in my thoracic spine just from the posture of having large breasts.
Wow. It's so people don't realise, but it's so debilitating, hey?
Oh, exactly. Like, you know, you can't this is aesthetic. It's not physical. Like, it doesn't affect your health, what I'm about to say. But, you know, you can't go out and buy a dress.
Totally.
You've got to buy stretchy fabric, or you have to have a wraparound in a stretchy fabric. Or so, you know, there's a constant thought every day, and your bras cost a bomb and they're not that attractive. So, you know, there are nicer ones now than there used to be, but there's that whole side to it. And then of course, exercising and is difficult. Like I just couldn't get a sports bra to fit. So even if I wanted to exercise, I was still dealing with flopping around.
So what was your cut like? What size were you?
So when I was not overweight, when I was a healthy size at various stages through my life, I was a D to a double D. At my maximum weight of a very unhealthy and debilitating 120 kilograms, I was a 26F.
My God, you sound exactly like me, because I was 119 and a half kilograms.
Oh, there you go.
I had those massive bazookas too, so I know exactly what you're talking about. And, okay, so when you lost weight, what had you, like, were they just, because obviously there's a lot of fat in you know, in breast tissue. Well, you know, it's as you lose weight, you kind of lose your boobs, but you kind of don't lose the skin. Is that what happened to you?
Very much so. I have quite low sitting breasts, so they're quite low anyway. Mm-hmm. And then after, you know, two kids, being 47 years old and having gained and lost weight dramatically, yo-yoing and a lot of weight each time over from my teenage years to my 40s. Yeah. They were very large, and they had no structure. There was a lot of fat tissue. So even as I lost weight, there was no breast density whatsoever. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'd put my dressing gown belt around my dressing gown in the morning and cause my nipples an injury. Like, it was terrible.
Yeah.
I had a lot of side boob or skin as well. So I know you've got the before and afters there, and you can just see they're very they took up the whole front of my body. You couldn't tell the difference between my stomach and my breast. Actually, it was funny. I did say, like, I explained it when I was talking to the surgeon initially, I look like I have no breasts on my chest and a very fat stomach.
Boring. Yeah, right. It was all kind of one.
No, because they were low and they're always low. They weren't sitting up. And of course you couldn't contain them in the bra because I see all these wonderful photos of lovely ladies in push-up bras. Well, I look like a melted candle oozing out the side of any sort of a bra that didn't cover from basically my collarbone to my armpit.
Yeah. So what made you decide that you were going to do your boobs? Is it something that you wanted forever or was like one day you're like, that's it, I had enough?
No, it was actually, I've never asked Dr. Sellers this question, but I was actually seriously considering having a breast reduction heaviest because I just, you know, but thankfully that turned around and I decided to have the gastric sleeve surgery as a very much a health priority. And then it was just a given, like in my mind, there was just no, like as soon as I got to a stable weight, I was going to a doctor about having a breast reduction.
Yep. So it was on your mind for, so do you know from what age? Cause like, how old were you when you had it? You're obviously in your 40s.
Yeah. So I had it in April this year. So I'm 47 this year. Mm-hmm. I probably denied about it in my late 30s, early 40s, as the first, like when I lost a lot of weight through a diet rather than an operation. But of course I gained it all back plus, you know, another 20 kilos.
Plus some, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But at that time I was thinking about it, but I think that last 20 kilos in that last, shall we say, 8 to 10 years, really had a much more profound derogatory effect on my breasts at that time. So it just from my early 40s to my late 40s now, it was, you know, on my mind. Yes.
Yeah. And it's, you're absolutely right about that last 20 kilos, I think, because because I think what happens, and well, this is what happened for myself, I don't know if it's like you, but like you lose weight and then you get to a point you stay that weight for a bit and then you put on a bit of weight and that kind of seems to be your happy weight. Is that what it's been like for you?
I'm only 14 or 15 months post-op, so I'm still probably what you would call in the honeymoon phase of the surgery. So I lost a great deal of weight in about a 9-month period and stayed the same for a number of good number of months, you know, to have the breast reduction.
Yeah.
And then I had the breast reduction and my little tummy just went back to a full restriction. I don't know why, but after the surgery, whether I was, whether it was a bit of the medication or whether it was, recovering from the anaesthetic, but I then lost a little bit more weight after having the breast reduction, about 5 kilos. So, and a house move as well, 5 weeks post-op. So,
oh my God.
That's I do tend to do that. But yeah, look, I'm very, very stable now at sitting at around 62 kilos, between 61 and 62.
Oh, I'm so jealous.
I was getting a little bit worried because I had these lovely little boobies now and I'm like, Don't lose any more weight,
yes.
Because, of course, stability is key in having any sort of procedure. You know,
of course.
That's a big thing. Yeah. But, yeah, look, it's been amazing, actually. I often say I've got a Facebook page about my weight loss journey and I'm quite open about the struggles of my weight and the changes in my body and also some of the mental aspects to such big changes and the struggles you go through. And it's quite funny because they're now forever dubbed as the girls, and the girls, I'm in love with the girls. The girls are the light of my life.
Yep. Oh, that's awesome. So look, tell me about, how was your, because obviously you wanted it for a long time and like you've had it done, but tell me a little bit about your experience. Like, first of all, how did you find him as a surgeon? Not find, what he was like, but how did you actually hunt him down to have to talk to sellers?
So this is a funny story. So we, my husband and I and our two children have lived in North Shore of Sydney for about, I don't know, 10 years now, 15 years. And we've been to the same GP all the time. And Dr. Sellers is a plastic surgeon and he obviously does breast reductions, but he does a lot of other stuff too. Mm-hmm. So over the years, this is so funny. I hope my husband doesn't kill me for saying this, but my husband had a cyst on his upper lip and it was also at the stage in our life where he required a vasectomy.
Yep.
bit of a change to the chat, but we had our own business and everything. And so we had to find, he could only have a certain amount of time off work. So we had to find two doctors that would work together on the same day, you know, a top and tail, so to speak. So we were first introduced to Dr. Sellers because he was going to remove my husband's cyst from his lip. And then they're going to jump in another doctor and do a vasectomy. So that's quite a little funny. We got to meet him then. Then, my son had a little lump on his face and we were referred back to him again. And one thing I sing Dr. Sellers' praises very, very high for this. He's very careful. He's very conservative and he's very, very knowledgeable. Mm-hmm. So he actually said to me at the time with my son, which I found amazing, that lump, I don't know, with young people cutting lumps out, I've been educated by a wonderful dermatologist that depending on what type of lump that is, maybe I shouldn't cut it out. So I'm not just going to go and remove that lump from his face. Let's put you through to a, refer you on to this pediatric dermatologist. And lo and behold, yes, the lump wasn't one that should have been cut out. It was a cystic acne that had to be treated by medication. So my son didn't have any outward signs of acne on his face at all. It's very more deep surface. So that obviously by this point, we're getting to know Dr. Sellers a little bit and we've had a little bit to do with him and I can see this very careful doctor. So then it came time and I was at my GP and I was losing weight and when I was in Dr. Sellers' rooms with my son, actually, it was like 5 years ago, he had all these breast plants up on a shelf behind his desk. And of course, I couldn't say over my 15-year-old son's head, oh, do you do boobs? So I waited and waited. And then it came time to talk to a doctor about a breast reduction. And of course, the doctor referred me to Dr. Sellers and then I had the opportunity to see another doctor within the same practice, another GP. And I said, oh, I'm having a breast reduction. And he said, well, I hope Graham's doing it. So his reputation preceded him.
Yeah.
Literally.
Yeah. And you know,
and then we progressed to the first meeting.
One of the things I know as well is I know that the breast reduction surgery is one of his favourite surgeries because, I've actually spoken to him about it because I always ask doctors, what's your favourite surgery to do? You know, it's just something that interests me. And he loves doing a breast reduction because it is so life-changing for women. I mean, I know that all surgery is life-changing, but unless you've suffered from, and it is a suffering from big boobs all your life, you can't really understand what someone would mean by that, but it is absolutely life-changing without a doubt.
And that was his opening line. He said, oh, hello, Alison. What are we talking with you about today? And I said, breast reduction. He said, oh, my favourite surgery. He said, my happiest patients are my breast reduction patients because of the benefits it brings. And in that initial consult, I felt very comfortable with him, but what I did really like about him is I'm sure every doctor has a process and they talk about the risks and the benefits and the side effects and other things that can affect you during a surgery. But something that really, again, built Dr. Sellers in my great esteem was that he said to me, oh, yes, your breasts naturally sit very low. He said, so, you know, what are you hoping to get? And I said, well, I just need them smaller. Like I'm a 47-year-old woman. I'm married. I've had my babies. I don't want breasts that are going to outlive me. I just need to have relief from my back and to not have these horrible dangly things that just are hard to contain.
Yeah.
So he said to me, look, well, we'll do a reduction. And because I did have a lot of skin and side boob, which you can clearly see in the photos, he actually did some liposuction up under my arm or on that side. And my cuts actually go, if you're laying on your back, my cuts actually go to where my back meets the table. So they go right around.
Ah, that would be really good because I've got a little of that floppy bit around the side. So stop that floppy bit around the side.
Yeah, yeah. And
it was
he's done a fan, like, yeah, you'll definitely see it in the photos. The before photos, you can see the fold of skin right around the side towards under my arm.
And
in the after photos, you can see there's quite an upward sloping scar. Now the scars, you know, with anything in life, I know with my gastric sleeve surgery and I know with my breast reduction surgery, you trade things off.
Yeah.
So you have to compromise on something. So you take the road for the greatest gain, but there's a trade-off. So I'm very, very happy with my scarring, but I think with most plastic surgeries, particularly with a tummy tuck and then the breast reduction, which are the two that I've obviously the two major ones that I'm looking at or have had done, there's a trade-off. It's not, you know, you have to swap the scars for the skin or scars for the size. And one thing I liked about Graham, he's very honest about that. You know, when he looked at my breasts, he said, yes, they're very low. The only way you're going to get breasts up onto your chest a little bit more is with an implant. And I jumped straight in. I said, I don't want an implant.
Oh my God, that's exactly what my doctor said to me. Yeah, I hear you.
And Graham then said to me, but I wouldn't give you implants.
Yeah, right.
Your skin wouldn't hold it.
Yeah, right.
So it was great that I didn't want them, but he could have said, oh, look, well, I don't know if he could have because maybe it would have been a terrible disaster, but I loved the fact that he said, this is the only way you will get the result, but it's not suitable for you. So we're going to do the best with what we can do. And, you know, I could not be happier. You know, I could not be happier. So that's very much, you know, yes, they're still a little bit lower, but in a little bra, and I go to the gym now and I can just wear a crop top, and my recovery was great. I was very, very lucky with my recovery. I was a bit high when I came out of recovery, according to my husband's video.
good on you.
But from that time on, I was on Panadol. He told me I'd be in for 2 to 4 days. On the day after surgery, he came to the rooms and he said, you're actually really fantastic. You can go home. I said, well, that's a shame because there's no one to take me. Hubby's caught up with business and there's no one at home. Can I stay till tomorrow? I can't help it that I'm a great recoverer. And so, yeah, of course, I stayed in till the next day. I had some drains. I was a little bit nervous about the drains, but they were nothing. I've been very fortunate there. They just came out. I worked on breathing for a bit of relaxation and things like that over the last few months, and breathing as they took the drains out, there was no issue with those. So I've been very, very fortunate.
That's amazing. So tell me, with your recovery, how was the – so obviously you left hospital within – was it
three? Yes. So if operation was day zero.
Yeah.
Day one being the first day post-op, day two I went home.
Yeah, right. Awesome. You left. So you were in hospital for 2 days. How was your recovery at home? And then also, how was your post-op care with Dr. Sellers? Because I know he prides himself on that. So can you share a little bit of that with us?
Yes, definitely. One thing about Dr. Sellers is he is very available, very, very available. I had no hiccups, so I didn't require that, but I had a friend that did have a breast reduction and there were a couple of little things she was a bit nervous about, and she spoke very highly of the fact that he was contactable post-op, not just through the hospital or anything like that. So, yes, his post-operative care is great. When I came home, your movement's limited to not reaching above your head or not, shall we say, doing the chicken dance, lifting your elbows up far from your side. So I was a little bit restricted in the first week. He says be careful for 2 weeks. Within 7 days, I went into the office very carefully. I work with my husband in our business, so it's not like I had to, you know, go and face people for a whole day or anything like that. But I did go into the office for a few hours within 7 days. But I did laugh because I do picture myself walking in. I was a little bit round-shouldered and a little bit ginger. But Panadol is all I needed for pain relief. And I did have Mobic, which is an anti-inflammatory drug, for I think 5 days post-op. But I had to be very careful with that because of my gastric sleeve. You've got to be very careful of your tummy, and they don't recommend taking anti-inflammatories. But I spoke to my bariatric surgeon, and he said, as long as I increased my SOMAC, which is an anti-reflux type drug, and had it twice a day whenever I had the tablet and I had it with food, it was fine. So, yeah, that was all. Interestingly, though, I did say to Dr. Sellers, I think it was maybe 3 weeks post-op, I think he referred to it as the nerves regenerating, like where it all cut, the nerves all start kicking back in. So I actually became a little bit more uncomfortable a couple of weeks post-op. It hung around for a little while. There was quite a nerve sensitivity on the right-hand side at the little tiny nick that was there from the drains. And I still, when I went to see him, so I knew you'd ask me this question, and I forgot a lot of my appointments in the whirlwind that has been post-op. But you see, I think I've seen him, I had it in April, it's now the end of July, and I've seen him twice since, just for the breast, but also while I was there, when we were talking about my eye operation, he'd say, and how are you post-op, like how are the breasts going? And so there's always that contact there. So I have
so lovely, really caring, make you feel like you kind of it's kind of a little bit, you know, it's a little bit above and beyond what, you know, a lot of people do. You feel like you're part of the, not part of the furniture, but you know, you matter.
Oh, absolutely. And you know, I found he's very considerate of the fact that he's dealing with a woman's breasts.
Yeah. Yes.
I had no, like, of course he has to touch them and lift them and almost weigh them in his hands, so to speak. Yeah. You know, he sits and he's very thoughtful. Like, he plans what he's going to do in the surgery in that first consult. So he's sitting there totally topless with this man who you potentially don't know, just staring at your boobs. And I was probably more conscious about that before the operation, because I was very uncomfortable with how my breasts were, but just that constant reminder in my head that, you know, he does this for his job and he sees breasts like mine and different to mine potentially every week, you know, and he them. So I just, you know, sort of blocked that out a little bit. And obviously he takes photos, and that whole thing is amazing when he then takes your after photos and he says, come and have a look at this. And he shows you the photos and you just go, wow, look
at, was that me?
Yeah, look at what you've done for me. And I'm, you know, just that consideration that he shows. And he's quite conservative when you first meet him, but friendly. But then I do have a bit of a sense of humour, as does my husband. And in some of the consults, you know, we've had a bit of a laugh and a joke. So I do get the sense that he does very much assess how the patient is and how he should react in those consults. So I feel he would fit himself to any situation very, very well. That's the sense I get, and how comfortable I've been with him.
Yeah. You know, and one thing, it's sort of like, you know, for people that are on, I mean, it's just amazing the way you found him, you know, because it's not, every day that you're going to find the perfect surgeon for your procedure just from, you know, having been to him before for something else, you know. But I like to look at Dr. Sellers as the quiet achiever because I know he does a spectacular breast reduction because I'm a bit of a breast reduction stalker, being a breast reduction patient myself. So I know he's a great person. But also, like you said, he kind of goes above and beyond, and that caring attitude and the way that someone, you know, you know, he respectfully touches your breasts, which is how, you know, that's why I chose the doctor that I chose when I had mine done as well, because there's something about the way that, you know, the way that you're treated and touched when you're going to go and have surgery with a doctor, isn't there? It's kind of a big deciding factor, hey?
Well, it is. And I think if, I mean, you have to be comfortable. Now, we're not, as a patient, we can do all the research we want, but we are very dependent also to a degree.
Yeah, what we're told.
To recommend the right people.
Yeah.
And I, as I said, I had heard around that Dr. Sellers was a great, a great boob man. And it's not even that. It's when you ring the office and it's the ladies on the front desk and it's the nurses and everything else. Like he's got a great team. Like it's like my, like I go in there now and I feel like they're my buddies. Like you on, whether it's Michelle, the practice manager, or whether it's Chris on the desk. And there was another lady, I feel terrible, I don't recall her name, that I met for the first time the other day with my eyes. And I'm a chatter, you know, that's one of my character flaws, traits. And it's just lovely. They welcome you in. You're made to feel comfortable if you ring up. They're so forthcoming with information. Like costing's a big thing when it comes down to plastic surgery choices. And you do need to research your costs and things like that. And you could just ring the ladies at any time and they give you some standard costs. And then of course, if there could be changes, so you have to be aware that, you know, things can change. But I always felt that any question I had has always been answered, whether that be through
things
that I've dealt with from an admin or perspective, or whether that be through Dr. Sellers Graham from a medical or that side of things. So education is key, but you know, you are still taking a chance. You are still
exactly
a chance and a risk, and that's, you know, a couple of doctors in the same practice saying, well, I hope Graham's doing your boobs. That's me.
It's reassuring.
Absolutely.
And so tell me, you're planning on having some more surgery down the track, aren't you?
I am. So I come from a long line of droopy eyelids. My mum had to actually have surgery, an eyelid reduction surgery, in her 60s because the weight and the her eyelids kind of let go a bit, her upper eyelids let go a bit, and it impacted her vision. And the same thing has happened to me. And I think mine has been exacerbated a little from weight loss and gain. Like, obviously, you don't think you gain a lot around your eyes, but I have looked into this surgery for a long time as well, and I see a specialist plastic surgeon for eyes a number of years ago, and he said to me that weight loss would affect the lid of your eye, and I had to be at a stable weight before he would consider doing it. He was a lovely doctor and I absolutely would have used him, except that I've kind of had such a great experience with Dr. Sellers and he doesn't. Yeah. So there was
you found your doctor. Yeah, I totally hear. Yeah. So you're going to have your eyes done, and is that upper and lower bleph or just upper?
No, just upper. And here's another thing why I love Dr. Graham Sellers is he's sitting across the desk and he's poking my eyelid. He's going, sorry, Alison, I'm just going to have to poke you in the eye. I'm like, sure, okay. And you're sitting almost not quite nose to nose, but you know what I mean, very close proximity. And it's just moving your eye and you just don't talk in that time because you can just see he's literally mapping out and planning what he's going to do. Mm-hmm. And he said, so I'm just going to lift your eye. And then he's very quiet. And then he says, can you do this? And then I just looked at him and I said, oh, do I need to get under my eyes done? Mm-hmm. And he said, no, Alison, you don't.
Yeah.
You know, because I do have some, you know, 47-year-old deflated face wrinkles. Not bad, but they're there. And, you know, we often laugh. As you get older, you can get that puffiness and some lines beneath your eyes. And I've got some of that, but it doesn't bother me too much. But just, and I hadn't said that to him, but just looking at him and I said, do I get the bottom done as well? And he said, no.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Are there doctors out there that might say, oh, yes, we could do that and that'd remove this or that? But he's just like, look, I know what you're after.
You told
me you're 47, you're married, you're happy with everything, you know. But, you know, I went to, when I went and saw Dr. Sellers about having my eyelids done, he sent me off to my optometrist to have a field of vision test to ascertain whether my vision was in fact impacted by my eyelids. And yes, my peripheral vision, I've lost quite a decent percentage of vision in one of my eyes and a little less in another eye. Because of the impact of my eyelids. So
yeah, of course.
It's a medical decision, but it is also, it's going to be great because like I haven't been able to wear any type of eye makeup or even mascara for the last 10 years.
Yeah, right. So you won't know yourself. So you're having your eyes, aren't you having something else?
Yes. Yes. I'm very strongly considering a tummy tuck.
Have you got a lot of loose skin?
I'm very fortunate with the amount that I have. It's very concealable in, you know, size 8 to 10 pants.
Yep.
But it is the stretch marks around my tummy and there is an apron and I've got the saggy little belly button that needs to be wiped out very carefully every day and things like that. Yes, it is there. And again, we talk tummy tucks and I ask some questions about, do I get a fleur-de-lis, which goes from, it's a cut down the tummy and around the bottom because I felt that, like that upper, you know, that upper pouch, you know, if you imagine above your belly button, there's a bit of sagginess there and then there's the apron and the sagginess down around the belly button plus the apron. And Dr. Sellers went straight and said, no, just the normal, I call it the smiley face, you know, where they on your pubic bone, like around that area. Just one of those will be fine. You'll get a good result. And I showed him my back. So I don't have horrendous loose skin on my back, but, you know, it's all deflated and the skin... there's no stretch marks and things on the back, but there is a bit of looseness around the back. And Dr. Sellers did his wonderful chat about it's a trade-off. He said he doesn't believe a full circumferential, if that's how you say it, was necessary because, yes, there's loose skin there, but you're going to trade off the pain and the scar and it's not that bad that you would probably want to do that for your back.
Yeah.
And so, of course, I'm like, oh, yes, okay, no worries.
Yeah.
Like that. That's all good.
Is he going to do muscle repair?
Yes, muscle repair. Yep. Oh, yep.
Awesome.
Yeah. I've got a, my muscle separation's only about 3 centimetres. So he said it's not bad, but you wouldn't go in there and not do it. He has to do it. So there'll be the muscle repair and the removal of the skin. He has this great gallery of before and after photos where he also shows you not just the happy stuff. Like he does go through risks. He does go through, you know, this lady came to me with this because she needed some assistance where the result from who had done it previously, not being him, wasn't what she'd hoped for or wasn't good and needed some repair. And then he also shows you just differences, like everyone's going to get a different result. So he really does, I believe, set your expectations so that you understand, fully aware that you're going to go in for that surgery and it may not be a 20-year-old washboard ab tummy after a tummy tuck. It will be a version of maybe this picture, potentially, but much, much better than what you've got. So yep. I believe he's very conservative in what he recommends, and he's very honest of the result he believes he'll be able to achieve. Because I think to go through such major surgeries and to come out disappointed would be gut-wrenching, I think.
Oh, totally. Yeah, I agree. Oh, look, that's been so great to hear your story, because I love speaking to, I love speaking to everyone, but especially someone who's kind of gone through the same similar trip as myself, because I can like, yes, I can so relate to it all the way through, you know. So it's been great to hear your story. Thank you so much. Would you mind if we had any pictures to put up with this podcast intro that we can share with people as well? I know you're really open
absolutely
about it.
Yeah, no, I'm very happy to share that, because I know when I was embarking upon my gastric surgery, or this plastic surgery path that I'm on now, you need to know, but not just what the doctor shows you. I think a personal story adds so much more. So that's why I was so happy to speak with you today, Trish, because it's really important. Since I've had my gastric sleeve surgery, I've actually got a Facebook page myself, a public page about my journey, and just the feedback of people saying, oh, I was having a really bad day today, I was worried about this and this, and you putting it out there has showed me that, yeah, people worry.
It's okay. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So very happy to share the photos, very happy to share the story. And if you want to have a chat post eyes or post tummy, I'm more than happy to share that with the photos and everything.
That would be amazing.
You know, every surgery is very, very different, and the same doctor can do the surgery 100 times, and if there's side effects or risks associated with that surgery, they can still happen.
Exactly. You just don't know. It's good to know what's coming up and, you know, what to expect and all that. Yeah, no, I totally hear you.
So, you know, thank you very much for having me.
No worries. Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Alison. Much appreciated.
Great. Thanks.
Lovely. And listeners, look, if you are in Sydney, or not even in Sydney, because we do a concierge service, but if you're after a breast reduction surgery, I know for a fact that Dr. Graham Sellers it's his favourite surgery. He is absolutely schmicko at doing it. So, you know, definitely check him out. So, yeah, you can send us an email to info@plasticsurgeryhub.com.au or just Google him. Thank you so much, Alison. Have a great day.
You too. Thanks, Trish.
Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye.
The material provided in this podcast is general information and does not constitute medical advice, nor is it a substitute for consultation and advice from your own practitioner. It should not be used to diagnose or treat any medical illness. Any medical or surgical decision should be made in consultation with your own doctor or practitioner and not based on the materials provided in this podcast.